Please turn with us to the scripture reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 to 10. We'll read this responsively. I'll read the first verse, and congregation, please respond reading the even verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord.
I know a man in Christ who, 14 years ago, was caught up in the third heaven, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows.
And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows.
He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell.
I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses.
Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say.
To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me.
3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me.
But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me."
That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong.
Turn our hearts to our message today.
We who are serious with our faith will quickly find out that being a Christian is a daunting and challenging task, isn't it? Because we realize that if we want to be faithfully following the Lord, we need to grow out of the way of the world and grow into the way of the Spirit. And it is hard, isn't it? Because we need to make a clean break and a decisive transition from the past into the new. It is so difficult because the evil one is still at work in our sinful nature. Many of us have grown up in Christian homes. If you're like me, I always say, I cannot think of a time when I wasn't a Christian. Because I grew up in a church, I grew up in a Christian family. But still, for 30, 50, 50 some years, I still live in this sin-sick world. I still being pickled in a barrel of the way of the world. And how well I continue to grow spiritually would depend on how well the way of the world is kept from pickling or saturating into my life. Many of us became Christians later on in life, and it is difficult to break away from the past. And because so much of the past mentality, past habits, past whatever attitude is still clinging on to our lives. And how well we grow in a Christian life, it depends on how decisively and how completely we break away from the past and transition into the new. Now we come to the last few chapters of Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And Paul is reminding us again the way of the world. And he specifically points out the way of the world loves to boast. Doesn't people in the world love to boast? Brag? Even though they may not speak verbally, but they would use material things as a reflection that they think they are superior. People in the world brag about their addresses. If I live in such and such community, people right away, people know, oh, they must be very, very successful and wealthy. The people in the world brag about the car they drive, the square footage of their homes. They brag about the school that they went to, the number of degrees that follow their names, and etc., etc. Actually, it's not just the love for boasting, the love for bragging. I realize that it's even beyond that. is the love to compete for the right to brag. They love to compete for the bragging rights. Very simply, we see that in the sporting fields. Nations compete for rights to brag. Games. Who's got the fastest human being in the world? Who can run the fastest? Who can jump the highest? Who can jump the longest? Who can lift the heaviest? But that's okay, but there's only games. If competition is confined in those areas, it's relatively harmless. But nations take their competitions from the field into arms. Nations love to compete to brag. Who's got the most battleships? Who's got the most powerful weapons? And that becomes endangering to our security. Love for boasting. This competition for bragging rights is where we human beings are most vulnerable. And the evil one knows that. And that's where he will choose to attack us. The Corinthian Christians are so worldly because that's exactly what they love. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, remember in the previous chapter, I'll read to you verse 18. Since many are boasting in the way of the world, I also will boast. Paul was talking about the Corinthian Christians. You love to boast. You love to compete for bragging rights. And that's why you are so impressed with people who will do exactly the same. You see, Paul does not want to get into that kind of waters with them. But it became necessary. It became imperative for him to do the same, for him to do some boasting. Because the Corinthian Christians thought they were so wise, but in reality, they were the biggest fools. Because they allowed themselves to be seduced by false teachers and false apostles. They thought they were so wise, but they allowed themselves to be tricked and to be led astray, almost like those 900, 1,000 plus people who follow Jim Jones. They thought they were so wise, but yet they were being led to the slaughterhouse. And Paul had to use the sharpest language, even sarcastic language, to rouse them out of their foolishness. Because of the imminent danger these Corinthian Christians are in, Paul had to speak their own language in order to wake them up from the danger. And that is why Paul says, since many are boasting in the ways of the world, I also will boast. But we need to study these couple of passages very carefully. Paul is boasting, yes he is, but he certainly is not boasting in the way of the world. These false apostles came from Jerusalem, claiming that they are Jewish. They may be Jewish, claiming that they are Jewish, therefore they enjoy higher spiritual authority. They were boasting in their own ability to speak well according to the manner of the world, but yet they are actually devoid of spiritual power. They were boasting in their credentials, but those are phony credentials. They were boasting in their teaching, those teaching that scratch the itchers in people's ears to make people feel good, but those teaching actually has no truth in them. They were boasting in their accomplishments, but they are actually empty accomplishments. That's the way the world boasts, but how did Paul boast, and what did he boast about? Not a long list of academic degrees that impresses people. No mention of the number of churches he started. No mentioning of the number of converts that he brought to the Lord. No mentioning of his writing, how many books, how many letters he wrote. No mentioning all those great miracles and wonder work that he did. He said nothing about himself being an internationally known speaker. All those credentials are true, but Paul did not say a word about them. I was thinking, what a great contrast, right, to the preacher that we have in today's speaking circuit. In contrast, on the other hand, what did Paul brag about? It was an incredible list of hardship and suffering, of beating, of torture, of hunger, of thirst, of imprisonment, being stoned. It's like an execution, shipwreck, lost at sea for days, danger from every side. And finally, the first of many humiliations that he had to endure. He had to escape by being lowered in the basket in the dark of the night. Is that what the world brag about? No. The way of the world, the people in the world brag about their exploits. They brag about their successes. They brag about their achievements. They brag about their awards. They brag about their honor. Nobody in the world brags about failures. Nobody in the world brags about humiliations. Nobody in the world brags about setbacks, but here's Paul. All that he brags about is the opposite of the way people brag about in the world. This is the first example in these last few chapters about paradox in the Bible. And in these final chapters, we see a number of these paradoxes. Now, what are paradoxes? Paradox is something that seems contradictory. Paradoxes are something that makes no sense. And yet, in reality, they are truth to live by. And here's the first one. Humiliations and setbacks. They don't give anybody bragging rights. But in the hands of God, humiliations and setbacks are honor. Brokenness and failures give no one bragging rights. But failures and brokenness in the hands of God, God turns it into honor. And if we would allow God to go to work in our setbacks, in our humiliation, in our failures, God can turn our life into glory and honor that reflects His goodness. We come to this 12 chapters today. We find two more examples of these spiritual paradoxes. What we consider to be bragging rights, God wants to use it to build and train our humility. Look at verse 1. Let's read that together, please. Shall we, please? I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. We end there. You see, Paul continued to place himself in a position of competition with these false apostles. They were competing with bragging rights, and Paul said, all right, I'll play your game for a little bit. Let's see who's got the real bragging rights. And the field that Paul chooses is in the area of visions and revelations. And Paul is saying, can anyone compare with me in this competition? Paul said, I know there isn't much to be gained in this competition, but at least I'm going to teach you the truth about strength and weaknesses. And here's a contest. Who can do better than I? Let's read verse 2 together, please. Shall we? I know a man in Christ who 14 years was caught up to the third heaven. Now, who is this man in Christ? It sounded like Paul was talking about someone else. But I believe Paul is describing himself. The context gives us support to think that Paul is talking about himself. Especially when we look at verse 7, it gives us a clear indication that the man who was caught up into third heaven is Paul himself. Let's read verse 7 together, please, at least the beginning. Shall we, please? To keep me from being conceited because of these surpassing great revelations. We stop there. Paul is saying, I'm the one who are given this surpassing great revelations. Now I was thinking, now why would Paul speak in the third person about himself? I think there are a number of reasons. Number one, it was customarily in those days for Jewish rabbis to speak in the third person when they refer to themselves. I think there's another reason too. Paul did not want to draw attention to himself any more than he had to. And I think also because Paul is certainly telling the truth when he relate this experience of Corinthians, but he wanted to avoid any, as much as possible, the opportunity for people to accuse him of being conceited. And that is why in verse 6. Let's read verse 6 together again, please. Shall we, please? Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted what I do or say. He said, I will be speaking the truth if I tell you this experience, but I'm going to refrain from really exposing myself, because I don't want people to think of me any more than what I have to. Now, what exactly is this third heaven experience? And what did Paul receive when he was there? And why is this such a powerful bragging rights? Paul received visions and revelation. Now, we need to recognize that visions and revelations are given to men and even prophets, and they can receive visions and revelation even when they are firmly planted on earth, when their feet are and the presence are still on earth. John received visions and revelation from God, and he wrote them down, what he saw and what he heard. And he kept a record, and we have that record. We call it the Book of Revelation. And that's the last book of our Bible. And where did he receive those revelations and visions? When he was in the island of Patmos. But Paul's vision and revelation are different. Paul saw those visions and revelation while he was present in the company of God. He was standing in front of the throne of God, and he witnessed all that. We can say that because in verse 2 and verse 4, Paul said, I was caught up in third heaven. And in verse 4, Paul said, I was caught up in paradise. Now the word caught up is the same word that we use the word for rapture in Thessalonians. It is a word that means we are literally lifted up from terra firma, from this earth, and into the air to meet with the Lord. Paul did not see this vision and revelation like John did while he was on earth. He was actually in the presence of God in heaven. Now, what is this third heaven? Third heaven is a Jewish terminology. They divide existence in three levels. They say heaven has three levels. The first level of heaven is the air and the atmosphere, that when we look up, we see the clouds and we see the birds flying in it. That's the first heaven. And beyond that, we see stars, we see the sun, and we see the moon, and we see the constellations. Jewish beliefs say there's a second heaven. And beyond the stars, where the presence of God is, that is a third heaven. And that is consistent because Paul in verse 4 says third heaven is the same as paradise. Paul is saying, I was actually brought into the very presence of God before his throne. Now again, we can see that Paul did not know this translation from his presence in earth into the presence of God was whether it is in the body or out of the body. He will repeat himself two times in verse 2 and verse 3. He doesn't know whether it is in the body or out of the body, because in the body would mean that the spirit was not separated from the body. It would mean that he did not experience physical death when this happened. Out of the body would mean that his spirit had been separated from his physical body, and that it was his spirit that was in the presence of God. If that is the case, Paul would have died and was resurrected and returned to earth. And Paul emphasized that he did not know, only God knows. Now all this sounds pretty much hocus pocus, doesn't it? It sounds like science fiction. It sounds like a fantasy. But being evangelical means that we believe in the supernatural. Being evangelical means that we believe in the resurrection. When Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave, we believe that he actually died for 3 or 4 days, and God actually had the power to bring him out of death. When Jairus' daughter was brought back from death by Christ Jesus, we believe that literally she came back from life, from the death. Being evangelical means that we believe in the truthfulness of the scripture. And therefore, this experience of Paul was truly out of this world. Paul heard things that he's not allowed to tell. In verse 4, it says he heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. Now, that is another difference between his vision and John's vision. What John saw and what John heard, he was inspired by God to write down for our benefits. But what Paul saw and heard was inexpressible and not permitted to tell. Now, why would Paul tell us about this out of this world experience? After all, he kept it to himself for 14 years. I think there are a few reasons. Reason number one is that this great exclusive experience is not for him to use for bragging, but it is for him, for his spiritual capital. I come to the understanding about Paul, and when I was studying this passage now, something that I never known before, something that never occurred to me before. All of a sudden I realized how Paul can endure so much. How could Paul be so bold and so faithful and so powerful and so fruitful? How could he be so focused in his ministry? It was because of this experience of having been in the very presence of God. He had been in heaven and back. He can say, I have been to the promised land. He can say, I know that is where I will be. I have seen the crown of glory that is waiting for me. Now whatever I have to endure on earth, Paul can say, it is nothing compared to what I will receive. Paul said, I have seen it, I have heard it, my eyes are fixed on the prize. And so this experience is for his own spiritual benefit and not for boasting. That's why he kept it to himself for 14 years. But now after 14 years, why for the first time he had to say to somebody, why now? Because it is for to bring these foolish Corinthians back from the brink. Why now? To win these foolish Corinthians back to the Lord. Why now? To teach these foolish Corinthians the spiritual paradox that our strength is given to us to remind us and to remember our weaknesses. Our strength, whatever God has given you, is not for us to boast, but to use to remind us of our weaknesses. Look at verse 5 together, please. Shall we read verse 5? Please, I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Who can compare to Paul? Peter could not, and maybe with the exception of John, none of the 12 apostles that were so close to the Lord could compare to Paul, let alone these false apostles from Jerusalem. Paul alone was given this special treatment, exclusive tour of heaven, exclusive privilege of witnessing what was happening in heaven personally, exclusive privilege of hearing all those heavenly words. He must enjoy God's special favor. He must enjoy special connection with God. I think in God's book, he must be the VIP. And in any preacher who enjoyed that kind of privilege, do you think he came back to earth? Do you think he can keep his mouth shut? You talk about bragging rights. There's no bragging right that can compare to that. But God is reminding Paul, Paul, you are so strong, you are so privileged. You have been given such privilege that not even the 12 had. But it's given to you to remind you that you are nobody in yourself. That you are weak in yourself. That without my power, without my grace, you can do nothing. You see the paradox here? Our strength is for the purpose of reminding us of our weaknesses. People in the world, they are strong, they are powerful. Their strength and their power is to remind them of how superior they are. But to us who belong to God, to us who belong to the Lord, our strength is given us to remind us of our weaknesses. It makes no sense, does it? That's why it's a paradox. And yet it is a spiritual truth. And in order that Paul would never forget this lesson, in verse 7, Paul said God gave him a real present reminder. Let's read verse 7, please. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelation, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Now, Paul is saying, just to remind me of my ecstatic experience in heaven, it's not for me to use as boasting. God, through the agency of Satan, that reminds us of Job. It was through the agency of Satan that God had to teach Job lessons. Yet, Paul is saying, God gave me this agonizing affliction to remind me of my weaknesses and my dependency on God. A thorn in the flesh. What in the world or what on earth is this thorn in the flesh? There are a lot of explanations, some commentators saying that it's referring to Paul's eye diseases. If there's some evidence in the Bible, because in the book of Galatians, Paul was praising the Galatians. Paul says, you know, because you're so great, I know that you would even tear out your eyes and give them to me because I need a first century cornea transplant or something. And Paul also would say in Galatians chapter 6, you know, you see what big letters I'm writing to you with my own hands. Nobody writes in big letters. You don't write in large letters unless you're going blind. So this thorn in the flesh referred to his blindness. And or his progressive loss of sight, that's possible. Others say it was Paul's speech impediments. He stuttered. He's not able to speak well. For a preacher not able to express himself because of speech impediment, that is a most agonizing handicap. So that's possible too. But I kid you not, there's someone who even say that this thorn in flesh referred to Paul's wife. He has a wife who nags him all the time and who will not support him in his ministry, and generally being a pain in the neck or the side or wherever the thorn is. And if that was the case, I mean, I think that would indeed be a thorn anywhere. There are some evidence that Paul was at one time married, but to say that her wife was a nagging and supportive wife, and that is pure conjecture. That's unconstructive. That's only wild guess. No reason for us to really find out exactly what this thorn in the flesh is. But one thing for sure, it irritates. It agonizes him. It reminds him of his weakness. It reminds him of his dependency on God. Because we can tell from verse 8 and 9. Let's read verse 8 and 9 together, please. Shall we, please? Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." You see, one thing for sure, no matter how privileged Paul has been, no matter how exclusively chosen he was, no matter how strong and how powerful he is in God's book, all his strength, all his power, all his bragging rights, all those are gracious gifts from God. Verse 9 and 10, let's read that again, please. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insult, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" We boast our weakness. That's a paradox. Our strength is really to remind us of our weakness. That's another paradox. And here finally, Paul says, "For I am weak, then I am strong." God's power is made perfect in man's weakness. Now that is a paradox. How can we be strong when we are weak? It makes no sense. Yes, it does. Because when we live in the grace of God, look at verse 8, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." The word grace has multiple meaning and multiple usage. In terms of salvation, grace means in God's grace, God gives us what we don't deserve. And yet in his mercy, he did not give us what we do. That's salvation. That's God's forgiveness. But in terms of everyday life, grace is that all-sufficient power of God at our disposal, that we may live in joy, in peace, that we may live trustingly and faithfully through all the unendurable. That's the grace of God at work in us every day. To be tortured, to be insulted, to be beaten, to be stoned, to be hungry, to be thirsty, to be cold, to be without shelter, without sleep. That's what Paul experienced. Those are the unendurable. But the power to live through all those with peace and joy, with trust, with faith, that's the grace of God at work in Paul every day. Our physical affliction that we might have, many of us certainly we have to go through, like chemo, those are unendurable. Going blind, constantly in pain, that's agonizing. But with joy and with peace, with faith and with trust, we live through all those unendurable. That's God's grace at work in us. Every circumstances that do not go our way, that do not go according to our desire and plan, when we are deprived, when we are denied, those are agonizing time of waiting, unendurable. Those are the time when we are weak. Those are the time when we falter. But we live through all those faltering weaknesses in peace and in joy, with trust and with faith. That's God's grace at work in us, turning our weakness into his power. In our ministry, we lose sight of God's plan for our own. And we started to compare. We see others seem to be doing better. And we see others seem to be more successful. And we lose heart and we become discouraged and we become resentful. That's when we are weak. And yet we remember, God made us just the way we are and God planted us where we are. And we regain our joy in our ministry. We regain our trust. We regain our peace. And we become even more faithful. That's God's grace at work in our weakness. I was thinking about how to apply in our lives. There are a few things that I was thinking about. We have to be very careful when we apply this passage. We do not want to abuse this passage. Because oftentimes we tend to excuse our weaknesses. And we say, okay, now didn't Paul tell us that we can boast our weakness? We must be very careful not to abuse this passage. We look at ourselves and say, oh, I'm weak in here, I'm weak in there. I'm failing in my studies. I use an example because this is a younger group and some of us are still in school. We are failing in our study because we watching too much TV or play too much video games, or we are neglecting our work and we are irresponsible, or we lack motivation. Don't brag about that. It's no honor. It's a disgrace. It is when we allow God to work in our life, in our weaknesses, transforming our weaknesses into something that brings honor and glory to Him. That is when we can boast about. If we have a weakness for gambling, maybe I'll talk about that in the other group. Maybe some of the elderlies, okay, they may have relatives and friends that might have that kind of difficulty. Or we have weaknesses in any kind of addictive behavior. Or we have a weakness in our temperament or in our character. Do not boast about them. Those are not honor. Those are disgrace. It's only when we allow God's power to work in our weaknesses, transforming our weaknesses into testimony of God's grace and power. That's when God's power is made perfect in our weaknesses. Only then can we boast, not in ourselves. After all, what is there to brag about in failures? What is there to brag about in flunking out of school? But in the grace and power of God, who turned our humiliation into honor, who turned our failures into honor. There's another way we can apply this too. That is not in our weaknesses when we are strong in some other areas. The most dangerous threat to our Christian life is our spiritual pride, is our Christian pride. We don't succumb easily to temptation of money or temptation of power or temptation of lust. Those are direct frontal attack from Satan. And we can easily recognize that and we can resist that. When we see that coming, we quickly throw up defenses against attack because those are common. But what is vulnerable for us is when we are growing in the Lord, when we are growing in our passion for Him, when God pour out His blessing on us, when we have a foretaste of the glory of heaven, that is when we are vulnerable to pride, just like Paul was. He had seen the glory. He had been there. He had not only a little taste, he had a big dose of the glory and the wonder of heaven. And that is when he is vulnerable. And God had to put a little thorn to prick him, to remind him. That is that spiritual pride that we need to be most aware of. How do we express that spiritual pride? It's in our attitude, it's in our mind. That holier than thou attitude, that superior than thou mindset. It's also a judgmental heart that fools us into thinking that nobody else can compare to me in loving the Lord. It's a judgmental heart in us that fools us into thinking that nobody is as passionate as I am, and therefore nobody is passionate for the Lord. It's the judgmental heart that fools us into thinking that my way is the only way. This passage certainly reminds us a lot of spiritual truth. Our strength is not for us to given us to use for bragging. Our strength, our power, our successes is given us to remind us of how weak we actually are. And it is in our weakness that God's power is made perfect, if and only if we allow Him to be at work in us. So let this passage remind us how we live as we continue to walk faithfully with Him. Let's sing a song together. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. I love this song. It's a good reminder how we live and how we walk.
以下是读经的时间，现在经文在哥林多后书十二章一节到十节。今天的经文在哥林多后书第十二章一节到第十节。
在新约圣经的258页。
找到以后，我们用起音的方式一起起音的方式来诵读神的话语。
找到之后，我们一起用启音的方式去诵读。
哥林多后书第十二章一节到第十节，找到没有？好，找到，我们一起用起音的方式。哥林多后书第十二章第一节：我自夸固然无益，但我是不得已的。如今我要说到主的显见和启示。我认得这人，或在身内，或在身外，我都不知道，只有神知道。为这人，我要夸口，但是为我自己，除了我的软弱以外，我并不夸口。又恐怕我因所得的启示甚大，就过于自高，所以有一根刺加在我的肉体上，就是撒旦的差役要攻击我，免得我过于自高。他对我说，我的恩典够你用的，因为我的能力是在软弱上显得完全，所以我更喜欢夸自己的软弱，好叫基督的能力覆庇我。愿神祝福的话语，以下时间交给牧师。
我们决志认真的跟随主。
我们知道这条跟随主的路不是容易。
我们知道这条跟随主的路不容易走的。
因为我们要脱离这个俗世之道。
因为我们要脱离这个俗世之道。
走进属灵之路。
走进属灵之路。
是彻彻底底的逃脱和进入新的。
是彻底的逃脱的进入新的生命。
好。好不容易，因为撒旦仍然在我们罪性当中在煽动引诱，
因为撒旦还在我们的罪性当中来煽动引诱我们。
我们信了主很久的，
我们信了主很久的，
特别是我们从小已经是信主的了，
特别是我们从小已经认识主的。
好像我这样，我不记得任何一个时间我不是信耶稣，
好像我一样，我不记得我什么时候不是信耶稣的。
因为一出世就是在基督徒家庭，
因为一出生就是在基督徒的家庭里面。
第一个记忆就是走上主日学，
第一个记忆就是走上主日学。
但是这么多十年来仍然是身处在这个罪恶的世界，
可是这那么多年来还是身处在这个罪恶的世界里面，
好像一桶老水一样，
好像一桶 煮菜的卤水一样，
腌了几十年这个熟世之道当中，
腌了几十年在这个熟世的之道当中，
我能够我怎样继续的在属灵的成长当中，
我怎么能够仍然在属灵的成长当中，
是在乎我能不能够将那些卤水不渗透入我的生命里，
是在乎这些卤水我们会不会进入我的心里面，
或者我们当中是好迟才信耶稣的，
或者我们有当中年纪比较大才信耶稣的，
信耶稣之前有好长的时间是未信主的，
在以前有很多年都是不认识主的，
过去仍然有很多脾气，过去仍然有很多习惯，有很多心态，有很多思想，仍然多多少少都黐住，
很多时候以前的心态脾气思想习惯都还在我念在我们身上，
怎样能够真是更成功的更忠心的与主同行呢，
我们怎样才能够更成功的忠心的与主同行呢，
是在乎怎样能够脱离旧的进入新的，
是在乎我们怎样脱离旧的进入新的，
保罗在这处写信给哥林多教会，
保罗在这里写信给哥林多教会，
提醒到特别一样属世之道，
特别是提醒有一个俗世之道，
就是喜好夸口，
就是喜爱夸口，
那俗世之道人间个个都好喜欢夸口，
在世上每一个人都很喜欢夸口，
就算不用说话来夸，
就算不用说话来夸口，
他可是用很多物质来代替了说话来炫耀自己，
有很多时候却用一些拥有的物质来代替来炫耀自己，
我们可以用地址我们住的地方来炫耀自己，
比方说我们用我们住的地方，
哦，我住在住在边处，人家一听到你在边处住啊，人家知道啊，有钱啊，发达啊，成功啊。
我告诉别人我住在什么地方啊，别人一听就知道我是身家很不错的人。
我哋用我哋开咩车嚟炫耀自己？
我们开什么车来炫耀我们自己？
我哋间屋有几多尺嚟炫耀自己？
我们房子有多大来炫耀我们自己？
喺边度读过书炫耀自己？
在哪里念书也可以炫耀自己？
好多好多好多，
很多很多。
其实唔单止我哋喜好炫耀自己。
其实我们不单止喜爱炫耀自己，
我们争乜嘢 bragging rights， 争嗰个权啊来炫耀，叻过嚟。
我们也争，不单止炫耀自己，也争取这个权利去炫耀自己，去把你比下去。
好多时候在体育场上面可以见到啦。
比方说我们在体育竞技上可以看得到。
国家与国家之间就是世运啦。
比方说奥运会。
啊，边个人系？人世间是最快的，走得最快，跳得最高，跳得最远，
哪一个人是跳得最快跳得最远，跑得最快，跳得最高，
举重举得最重啊，
气力最大，举重最厉害的，
在运动场里面争啲 breaking right 的没问题，
在体育场上争取这些炫耀的机会是没有问题的，
运动游戏之嘛，
只是运动，只是游戏而已。
但是我们知道人世间的竞争啊，不是只是在运动场上面竞争。
但是我们知道，在世上竞争不单只是在运动场上。
国与国在武器上边啊竞争的 arms race。
我们在国与国之间也有他们武器上的比较。
啊，边个国家有最强的战斗舰？
哪一个国家有最强的军舰？
边一个国家有最恐怖的武器？
哪一个国家有最厉害最恐怖的武器？
人就是喜欢喜好夸口，
人就是喜欢夸口，
争取这个炫耀自己的权利，
争取这些炫耀自己的权利和机会，
这个是我们最脆弱的地方，
这个是我们最脆弱的地方，
撒旦要攻击我们，
撒旦要攻击我们，
要破坏我们属灵的与主同行，
要破坏我们与主属灵的与主同行，
他们在这一处我们最脆弱的地方来攻击我们，
他就在这个最脆弱的地方来攻击我们，
哥林多教会在这处最脆弱，
哥林多教会在这里就是最脆弱的，
撒旦就在这一处攻击他们，
撒旦就在这一方面攻击他们，
他们很喜好夸耀炫耀自己，
他们喜爱夸耀炫耀自己，
我们上一章第十一章，
上一章在第十一章
第十八节
里面，
我们有时间来看一看，
我们再看一看，
你看第十八节，第十一章第十八节，
十一章第十八节，
令我们一起来见到，我给大家两分钟看一下，请大家一起，我令大家，既有好些人凭着血气自夸，我也要自夸了，凭着血气自夸，即是说按着属世之道来自夸，
凭着血气自夸，就是凭着俗世之道来夸口。
他们很喜好 夸炫耀。
他们很喜爱夸炫耀夸口。
人哋喺佢哋当中亦都系好喜好炫耀嘅呢？
别人在他们当中也喜欢夸耀的呢？
佢哋就好睇起嗰班人。
他们就看得起这些人。
保罗唔想同佢哋玩同一个竞争。
保罗不想跟他们玩同一个游戏。
但系必不得已嘅，一定要嘅。
但是必不得。
呢啲哥林多教会啲信徒以为自己系大智嘅人，好聪明嘅人。
哥林多的教会以为他们是有大智慧的人，
其实系最愚蠢嘅愚笨嘅人。
其实他们却是最愚笨的，
因为佢哋跟咗情愿嘅自愿嘅，跟咗嗰啲假先知假教导，远离啦真道。
因为他们很自愿的跟随了那些假教士，去远离了真理。
保罗要用最尖酸嘅、最讽刺嘅说话嚟向佢哋警告。
保罗就用最尖酸的话来讽刺警告他们，
要他们从他们的愚笨当中吵醒他们，
要从他们的愚笨当中把他骂醒。
因为这些哥林多教会面对好危险，好大的危险，
因为他们的教会遇到很大的危险。
保罗逼不得已，
保罗是逼不得已的，
要用自夸的说话，
要用自夸的话，
唯一的说话这些哥林多信徒能够明白的，
唯一他们能够明白的他们信徒能够明白的，
是要他们从危险当中叫醒，
是要他们从危险当中叫醒。
所以保罗说，既有好些人凭着血气自夸，我也要自夸了。
所以保罗就在这里说，既然有些人凭血气自夸，我也要自夸了。
但是你很细心看这几章，
但是我们要很小心看这几章。
保罗是在说夸口，
保罗是在这里夸口，
但保罗不是按着属世之道来夸口。
但是保罗不是按着属世之道来夸口，
因为这些假先知假教师在耶路撒冷来，
因为这些假教是假教的，是从耶路撒冷来的。
他们夸口是什么？
他们夸口是什么呢？
他们自夸他们讲说话教导的本事，
他们自夸讲说话和教导的本领，
是熟悉看起那些技巧，
是俗世上他们很看重的技巧。
但是其实说话教导里面是没有能力的，
但是他们所说的话里面是没有能力的。
他们以他们的资格来自夸，
他们以他们的资格来自夸，
但是那些资格是虚伪的，是假的。
但是他们的资格是虚伪的，是假的。
他们以他们的教导来夸口，
他们以他的教导来夸口。
他们说，我现在收入场费这么高，我们的教导一定是正，一定是厉害的。
所以他们就因着这个缘故，所以就说他们收很高的会众费，所以他们的教导一定是真的。
那些哥林多那些信徒又喜欢听嘛，好像咬耳仔痕那样嘛。
因为他们哥林多信徒他们耳朵发痒，就很喜欢听了。
但是那些教导没有真理在里面的，
但是那些教导是没有真理在里面的。
那些假先知以他们的成就来夸口，
那些假先知以他们的成就来夸口，
但是都是空空洞洞的。
可是却是空洞的。
熟世的人间所夸口的就是这些了，
熟世的人间所夸口的就是这些。
但是保罗不是按着熟世之道夸口自夸，
但是保罗却不是按着熟世之道来自夸。
你看他夸以什么为荣啊？以什么来夸自夸？
他以什么为荣呢？他什么为自夸呢？
没有提到他的学识，
没有提他的学习，
没有提到他创立了多少教会，
没有提他创立了多少教会，
没有提到他带了多少人信主，
没有提他带了多少人信主，
没有提到他写了多少本书，写了多少封信，
没有提他写了多少书，写了多少封信，
没有提到他行过什么大的神迹，
没有提他行了什么大的神迹，
没有提到他是国际之间最出名的讲说话传道人，
也没有提他是国际上最著名的传道人。
那些资格样样都是准的，样样都是真的。
他所虽然这样，他每一些所说的都是真的，
但保罗一句声都没提过。
但是保罗一句话也没有提。
跟我们今天传道人几大分别，是吧？
跟我们今天传道人是很大的分别。
今天在住宅里走去传道的人，就是用那些来做就是巩固自己的能力。
今天很多国际的传道人都是用这些资格来巩固自己的能力，
但是保罗以什么为荣？
但是保罗以什么为荣呢？
与他为主所献上的那个苦，
是以他为主所摆上的苦，
他经历的艰苦，
他经历的艰苦，
他经历的伤痛，
他所经历的伤痛，
被打酷刑，被鞭打，
被鞭打，
挨饥抵饿，
挨饥第二，
在坐监
坐牢，
被人用石头打，即是行刑行死刑，
给人家用石头打，就是行死刑，
沉船
乘船，
大海中漂流几日，
在海中漂流了几天，
四方八面来的危险，
四方八面来的危险，
最后一个人最大的羞辱，
是一个人最大的羞辱，
他在大马色那个城里面用一个大锣将他放低落个城墙之外，给他逃命，
就是在大马色的城里面被人家放在一个骡子里面，放下城墙下面去跑逃跑。
人世间俗世之道会不会用那些来做夸口的？
俗世之道会不会用这些事情来夸口呢？
没的，
没有的。
俗世之道，人世间人当然以自己的叻、自己的成就、自己的成功来夸的嘛。
在世上每一个人都是用自己的成就、自己的成功来夸口。
有几大成果，
有多少的成果，
有几多光荣，
有多少光荣，
有几多奖状，
有多少的奖状。
俗世之道就是用那些来夸口的嘛。
俗世之道就是用这些来夸口。
哪里有人会用羞辱、失败、挫折来夸口呢？
没有人会用失败、羞辱、挫折来夸口吗？
但是保罗就是以那些，
但是保罗就是用这些来夸口，
跟俗世之道完全相反，
用跟俗世之道是完全相反的。
现在这个就是在这个哥林多后书最后的几章啊，很多那些所谓矛盾里面一个举例，
在这里就是哥林多后书里面他用很多矛盾来举例，
这个叫 paradox， 好像矛盾。
paradox 这个字的意思就是好像是一个矛盾，
好像荒谬，
好像是一个荒谬的事情，
好像费解不能够解释的，
好像是不可理解的事情，
好像冲突的，
好像是有冲突的，
但是其实是真理，
却是真理，
是我们生活抓紧的真理，
是一个我们需要持守的真理。
这个就是第一了，
这个是就是第一要点，
羞辱挫败，
羞辱和挫败
不会被任何的人有 bragging rights， 有权去夸炫耀自己的，
不会让一个人有权去炫耀自己。
但是我们的羞辱、我们的挫败在神的手里面，
但是我们羞辱和挫败在神的手里面，
被神使用，
给神使用，
神能够将我们的羞辱和挫败变成荣耀，
那他就能够把我们的羞辱挫败变成荣耀。
破碎挫败不是人所夸口的，
破碎和挫败不是人所夸口的，
但是在神的手里面，
可是在神的手里面，
神能够将破碎变成荣耀，
神能够把它变成荣耀。
如果我们能够容许神在我们人生里面做工动工，
如果神我们容许神在我们生命里面动工，
我们现在来到第十二章，
我们来到第十二章，
我们看到还有两个这些所谓 paradox， 这些所谓好像矛盾，
我们在这里看到有两个矛盾。
然后我们看到什么？我们以为可以值得我们夸口的，
我们以为可以值得我们夸口的，
但是神要我们使用它，
但是神要我们使用它，
成为我们的谦卑，
成为我们的谦卑，
值得夸口要用来成为我们的谦卑，
值得夸口的就要我们谦卑下来。
你看第一节的，
我们只看第一节，
我们一起来到第十二章第一节，请大家，我
自
夸固
然
无
益，
但我是不得已的，如今我要说到主的显现和启示。保罗现在继续将自己放在一个竞争的一个情况里面，
保罗在这里放在了一个和别人竞争的地位上面，
跟那些假先知假使徒来竞争谁有 bragging rights，
和那些假先知假使徒来去竞争，有哪一个能够有一个自夸的权利，
谁有权去自夸。现在保罗说启示和这个异象，
保罗这里就说，好，说到意象和启示的话，
保罗说我跟你竞争是无益的，
我跟别人争是无益的，
但是为了你们的缘故，我利用这个来教导你们的功课，
可是为了你们的缘故，我用这个来教导你们的功课，
教导你们关于强弱这个矛盾这个功课，
教导你们关于一个强弱这个矛盾。
保罗说你是谁能够叻得过我，
你们在这里有哪一个可以比我更强，
哪一个能够比得上我，
哪一个比得上我。
然后看第二节的，
我们看第二节，
我一起来读第二节，大家请，我认得一个在基督里的人，
他前十四年被提到第三层天上去。
那这个在基督里的人呢，是指哪一个呢？
他这里说的在基督里的人到底是谁呢？
好像保罗说是另外一个人，不是指他自己。
好像保罗是说的另外一个人，
但我相信保罗是形容他自己。
但是相信保罗是形容他自己，
因为这个内容里面被你看到保罗是说他自己。
因为这个内容里面我们看到他是说自己，
尤其是第七节，
尤其是第七节，
我读给大家听。又恐怕我因所得的启示甚大，就过于自高。保罗说我就是这个在基督里面的人。
在七节我们看到保罗说又恐怕他所得的启示甚大，就过于自高。所以保罗在这里是其实说的是自己，
又是我就是那个所得到这个这么大的启示那个人。
他这里就是说很完全的说他就是这个得到启示的人。
那保罗为什么用第三节来形容他自己呢？
为什么保罗在这里用第三声来形容这个经历呢？
当时那些犹太人牧师犹太人全 Rabbi 拉比很多时候用第三节来形容他自己的。
因为在当时在拉比的犹太教士他们的习惯很喜欢用第三声来形容他自己的经历。
保罗是拉比一个身份，他是这样做。
因为保罗他本身是一个拉比，所以他会这样做。
而且他不想人家太多注意力摆在他身上，好像更明显的显露自己的炫耀。
而且另外原因就是不想把自己放在这个焦点里面，使别人看着他。
保罗也都不想尽他的能力，不想人家指控他是骄傲，
也尽办法不想别人指控他是骄傲。
所以我们看第六节，看保罗这样解释。
所以第六节我们就看到他这样解释。
我一起来读第六节，大家请。
我
就是愿
意
夸
口
也不算狂，
因
为
我
必
说
实
话，
只是我
禁
止
不
说，恐怕有人把我看高了，过于他在
我
身
上
所看见
所
听
见
的。保罗说就算我讲这些话都是真的，不是太过分太离谱的。
保罗这一里说，我就算说这些话也不是太过分太离谱，
但我用第三者来形容我自己。
但是我用第三者去形容自己，
是想人家不会以为我真的太过自高自傲，
使别人不要认为他太过自高自大。
我现在要问这个第三层天是什么意思？
在这里保罗形容第三层天是什么呢？
还有保罗在第三层天得着什么？
保罗在第三层天得到什么？
为什么他在第三层天里面呢，是成为他这么大的夸耀的一个权利？
为什么他去了第三层天成为他这么夸口的权利呢？
首先保罗得着异象和启示。
首先他在那里得到异象和启示。
那异象和启示不需要你在天上边见到听到的。
异象和启示不一定在天上可以看得到。
有很多先知就算在身在地上人世间都看到异象看到启示。
在旧约里面很多先知他们都在地上看到异象和启示。
使徒约翰就见到很多异象和这些启示咯。
而且使徒约翰也看到很多异象和启示，
他写下所见到的所听到的，
写下就是了，
就是我们现在今天的启示录了，
就是启示录。
但他所见到的所听到的是在拔摩岛的树神给他见到看到的。
他约翰在所看到的是在拔摩岛神给他看到的。
但是保罗所见到的异象启示和约翰的不同。
但是保罗所看到的异象和启示跟约翰是不一样的。
保罗所听到见到的是他亲身身处在天堂，在神的宝座面前所看到所听到的。
因为他这里所说的是他亲身在天堂里面在神的宝座面前所看到的，
不是在人世间在地上看到，
不是在人世间所看到的。
我们说第二和第四节给我们看到这个证据。
我们在第二和第四节看到这个证据，
被提到三层天，
他被提到第三层天，
被提到乐园，
被提到乐园。
那这个被提到是在帖撒罗尼迦后书里面所提到前书里面所提到的被提同一个字。
他在这里所说的被提跟帖撒罗尼迦前书所说的被提是同一个字。
我们被提的时候，我们真真正正在人世间被提升到在天中天空中与主相会。
我们在人世间如果被提的话，就是我们整个人的身体在被提到天 空中与主相遇。
保罗同约翰呢处唔同啦。
保罗这里跟约翰不一样。
保罗亲身嘅被在世上地上啊，被提起上到空中云中。
因为他在这里是在地上，整个身体被提到天空中。
而且唔系在第一层，唔系第二层，第三层添。
而且不是第二和第二层天的乐园，是在第三层。
那咩叫第三层天？
什么叫第三层呢？
三层天是犹太人嗰啲文字嗰啲思想嚟嘅。
三层天是他们犹太人他们宗教里面其中一个思想。
犹太人教导天有三层，第一层是乜嘢呢？就是我而家见到个天空啦。
他们的教导就是第一层天就是我们所看到的天空。
我哋望过见到有云彩，我见到有雀仔喺处飞，在大气层之下，呢个系第一层天。
这个大气层我们看到有小鸟有云，就是第一层天。
第二层天咧就系大气层之外。
第二层天就是大气层以外。
我哋所见到嘅日月星辰。
我们所看到日月星辰。
犹太人嘅思想第三层天咧。
犹太人思想里面第三层天呢，
就是神亲身所在的天堂里面，
就是神亲身所在的天堂里面。
保罗第四节话被提到乐园，即是乐园神所在的地方。
因为第四节说他被提到乐园里面，就是神所在的地方。
保罗话我真真实实被提到被带到神的面前，宝座面前，天堂里面。
他所以这里就说我是称真真实实的被带到神的宝座面前。
保罗一次又一次话，我唔知道系在身内啊，因为在身外。
他一次又一次说的，不知道我是在身内还是在身外。
身内嘅意思系乜嘢呢？
身内的意思是什么呢？
就即系话佢嘅灵同佢嘅身体啊，未曾分开。
就是他的灵和他的身体没有分开。
未曾分开，即系话佢冇经历过呢个肉身嘅死亡。
他就是说没有经历这个肉身的死亡。
身外呢是什么意思呢？
身外在外面是什么意思呢？
身外就是说他的灵魂和他的身体已经分开了。
就是说他灵魂和身体已经分开了。
在神面前的不是这个肉体，而是他的灵魂。
在神面前是他的灵魂，不知道没有身体。
如果是身外的话，
如果是身外的话呢，
就是说保罗死了的，
就是保罗死了，
灵魂在天堂里面，
灵魂在天堂里面。
经历那个三层天的经历之后，
经历这个三层天的经历以后，
他复活再一次回到人世间，
他再一次回到人世间。
但保罗在树一次又一次说他不知道，他自己不知道，只有神知道。
他意思又说的，他不知道这个是什么回事，只有神知道。
这个经历大家觉不觉得好像很超自然，很荒谬啊，好像那些 science fiction 啊，这样的。
有没有觉得这个经历很荒谬，好像一些科幻小说一样呢？
好像很神神怪怪，
很神怪的。
但是我们是福音派的信徒。
但是我们是福音派的信徒。
我们是福音派的信徒，是什么意思呢？
是什么意思呢？
我们相信超自然，
我们相信超自然，
我们相信复活，
我们相信复活，
我们当然相信复活的，
我们一定相信复活。
拉撒路从死里面复活，
拉撒路从死里面复活，
在坟墓里面已经三天在处发臭了，
在坟墓里面三天发臭了。
耶稣叫他从坟墓里面出来，
耶稣叫他从坟墓里面出来。
艾鲁的女儿从死里面被主从死里面带回出来，
艾鲁的儿女从死里面主把他复活过来。
我们是福音派的基督徒，
我们是福音派的基督徒，
我们相信圣经是绝绝对对准确和真实，
我们相信圣经绝对的真实。
所以我们看到这段这么 out of this world， 我们中文我们怎么译呢，就是从人世间没办法能够经历到的，
匪夷所思啊！
匪夷所思啊！哦、，thank you， 匪夷所思的记载。
我们看到这些就是莫名其妙、匪夷所思的记载。
我哋相信系真真实实，
是真实的，是可靠的。
保罗听到在天堂里边听到佢唔能够讲述嘅说话。
他在天堂里面看到这些不能够形容的事情。
隐蔽的言语。
隐蔽的言语。
即系唔能够用在人世间嘅言语嚟表达。
在不是人间的言语所能够表达。
那这个跟约翰所见到的异象不同，
跟约翰所看到异象是不一样的。
约翰见到听到他写低是为了我们的益处，我们今天有启示录。
约翰看到写下来是为了我们的益处，是为我们
益处，
是为我们的益处。
但是保罗所听到见到他不能够向我们表达，
但是保罗在这里所说的所听到的不能够向我们表达，
不能够向你表达，但是为什么？ 保罗而家喺呢处讲俾我哋听。
但是他在这里为什么告诉我们呢？
十四年佢都冇一句说话都冇提过，冇出过。
十四年他都没有说一句话。
点解而家喺处出声啊？
他这里为什么说出来呢？
佢唔出声系因为呢个咁特别嘅权利嘅一个经历。
因为他有权利去经历这个那么特别的经历，
不是神给他，给他有个权利去自夸炫耀自己的。
神给他有这个经历，不是让他有一个机会去炫耀自己，
而是单单为他自己属灵的益处、属灵的使用，
是为了他属灵的益处和使用。
我在这个礼拜预备讲到的时候，我领悟到一样我从来以前没见到领悟到的。
这礼拜我预备讲到的时候，我领悟一件事情是以前所没有看到。
我现在明白到为什么保罗能够这样挨得过这么多十年侍奉主的生涯。
因为他在这里才看到保罗为什么这么多年来能够受那么多的苦，
为什么侍奉主能够这么强壮的、这么忠心的、这么有能力的，
为什么保罗能够那么强壮的去侍奉主呢？
这么能够集中精神没有分散精神的，
他为什么能够集中精神没有分散他的心意呢？
是因为他这个在神面前亲身在神面前的经历，
因为这个在神面前亲身的经历。
他曾经到天堂里面见过天堂，现在回来这个地方，
他曾经去过天堂能够回来，
他能够说我见过神答应给我的应许之地。
因为他说他看过神给他的应许之地，
我知道我很快的将来会去翻边处，
因为我就知道我很快能够回到 那边去了。
我见过荣耀的冠冕，有我的名写住在那里，
我看过有荣耀的冠冕为我存留。
然后现在我在俗世地上边所经历的任何一个艰难算得什么？
所以我在地上所经历的艰难算得什么呢？
与我很快的将来会得到的，我已经见过听过的相比，在世上面的艰苦算得什么？
跟我在天上所看过相比，这些都不算得什么了。
他说我的眼望准望定神给我的赏赐，
因为我眼看着神给我的赏赐。
所以他在天三层天里面的经历是为了他属灵的祝福来的，
所以这个特别的经历是为着他属灵的祝福，
不是给他用来炫耀自己的，
不是让他来炫耀自己。
但是为什么十四年之后现在才提啊？
为什么十四年以后他才提呢？
因为哥林多的信徒已经在灭亡的边缘，
因为哥林多的信徒已经在灭亡的边缘，
就来要跌落黑暗里面，
快要掉进黑暗里面。
因为这班信徒这么愚笨的，
因为这个信徒是那么愚笨的，
远离基督走去跟随这些假的教师使徒，
离开基督去跟随假先知假教师的教导，
好像那九百多一千个在三藩市，
好像那九百多一千多个人在三藩市，
现在就来上飞机了，
快要上飞机了，
现在就来跟那个 Jim Jones 去 Guyana 了，
跟 Jim Jones 去 Guyana。
这个是三十一年前这个 Jim Jones 这个牧师，
就是三十一年前这个 Jim Jones 这个牧师
带了差不多九百多一千个跟随他的人，
就带了九百多一千多个人跟随者
走去委内瑞拉隔离那个南美的森林里面，
去跑到南美洲的圭亚那那个森林里面，
说建立他们的教会，建立他们的团体，
建立他们的教会团体，
九百多一千个人远离真道跟着他走上这个死路来的，
九百多一千人跟随他走上这个死路。
保罗见到哥林多教会的人现在上紧飞机，
保罗看到这些哥林多的信徒好像金钟的信徒上飞机了，
走离真道现在走上灭亡的路，
离开真道走上灭亡之路，
所以没办法都要向他们这样警告他们，
所以没办法也要用这个方法去警告他们，
教导他们，
教导他们
这个强弱的所谓矛盾，
教导他们所谓这个强弱的矛盾，
是想要赢取他们翻翻转头，带他们翻翻转头，
是为了要把他们带回头。
所以第五节保罗说什么？
所以第五节保罗说什么呢？
为这人我要夸口，
为这人我要夸口，
但是为我自己除了我的软弱之外我并不夸口，
但是为我自己除了我的软弱以外我并不夸口。
保罗说哪有个能够在这一处比得上我，
保罗说在这里有神，有谁能够比得上我呢？
全世界所有跟随耶稣的人，有哪一个曾经被提到神的面前天堂里面？
在世上所有跟随主的信徒，有谁好像他一样被提到天堂里面呢？
听到见到不能够向人所讲的说话，
看到听到一些不能够说明的事情。
好，彼得都没有这个权利，
彼得也没有这个权利。
除了约翰之外，没有任何一个使徒有这个权利。
除了使徒约翰以外，没有人有这个权利。
好像我说 exclusive tour of heaven， 只有他被带到天堂里面见一下地方，
好像只有他被带到天堂里面去见识一下，
只有他有这个权利听到见到在天里面的事情，
好像他只有他有权利看到天堂里面的事情。
你说在神的眼中这个保罗是几咁特权啊？
在神的眼中，我们看到保罗是有那么大的特权。
如果有一个传道人今天有这个经历，现在回来，你说他会不会不出声啊？
如果今天有一个传道人，他有这个经历回到我们当中，他会闭口不言呢？
即刻卖大广告、卖电视嗰啲时间啊！
他一定会在电视上卖广告。
你我哋个讲边个有权炫耀自己，边个能够比得上保罗？
有谁能够比得上保罗有权去炫耀自己呢？
但系神对保罗话，
但是神对保罗说：
你咁强，
如果你那么强，
你享有咁大嘅特权，
你有那么大的特权，
所有其他嘅使徒都冇嘅，只有你享有到。
其他使徒都有，都没有，只有你是有的。
系我俾你要提醒你。
是我给你要提醒你，
你在自己里面你不是一个任何人，什么人
在你自己里面，你并不是一个什么的人。
如果你靠你自己是最软弱的一个人，
如果你靠自己是最软弱的，
如果不是我的能力在你生命，不是我的恩典在你的生命，
如果不是我的能力和恩典在你的身上的话，
你这么大的权利都好，你一样都做不到出来。
那么大的权利能力都好，你一件事情都不能够成就。
大家有没有看到这个矛盾？
我们看到这个矛盾没有？
神给我们的强壮，神给我们的能力，
神给我们的强壮和能力，
目的是要提醒我们，我们是软弱的，
目的要提醒我们，其实我们是软弱的。
很荒谬的，很冲突的，
很荒谬，很有荒谬有冲突的事情，
很费解的，哪能够解释得到呢？
不能够解释的事情，
这个就是 paradox， 这个就是这个矛盾，
这个就是矛盾，
而且是真实的，
而且是很正式的事情，
而且保罗唔使佢冇办法会忘记嘅，
而且是保罗没办法忘记。
神话我特别俾一条刺嚟吉你，成日唔停嘅嚟吉你督你，
所以神就给他一条刺来刺他，
系为咗要提醒你，
是为了要提醒保罗。
我哋一齐嚟读第七节啦。
我们看第七节，
我哋一齐，但又恐怕我因所得的启示甚大，就过于自高。所以有一根刺加在我肉体上，就是撒旦的差役要攻击我，免得我过于自夸。一定要提醒保罗，
一定要提醒保罗，
你在天里面这么大的一个大起大落，
你在天上面所领受的大喜大乐，
现在神说我要给一个大痛大苦给你，
我要给你一些痛苦，
是为要提醒你，
是为了要提醒你，
你要不断的每时每刻的都要依靠我，
你是要提醒你每时每刻都要依靠我。
在肉体上面一根刺，
在肉体上的一根刺，
很多解经家有不同的解释，什么刺？
很多解经家去尝试解释什么刺呢？
有很多解经说这个是保罗的眼疾，眼病，眼的退步。
有解经家说，解经家说这个是保罗的眼睛有毛病。
圣经里面有这些证据。
圣经里面有这些证据。
保罗写信给加拉太教会。
保罗写信给加拉太教会。
赞赏加拉太的信徒。
赞赏加拉太的信徒。
赞怎么赞他法呢？
怎么去赞扬他们呢？
他说我知道你们会爱我爱到什么程度啊？
你会爱我爱到什么程度呢？
你们会用你的眼挖出来给我，
用你的眼睛挖出来送给我，
又好像人世间第一次 cornea transplant maybe，
好像是角膜的移植一样。
而且保罗写信给加拉太第六章的话，
而且在加拉太书第六章的话，
你看我写字给你们是我亲手写的，你看我自己多大，
我写信给你是亲手写的，你看这些字是那么大。
没人写字写大字的，
没有人把字写得大到的、
只有盲紧的人现在就来失明的人才写字越写越大嘛，
只有快要失明的人他会才把字写得越写越大。
所以我们说我这个保罗肉身的刺是他的眼疾，这个有可能有原因。
所以解经家说这些刺是眼疾是有可能的。
又有人解释话这个刺啊是形容保罗的口疾，即系疾口疾舌嗰啲，唔识讲说话。
也有人解释是保罗他是有口吃的。
如果一个传道人心里边所讲嘅说话讲唔得出口，因为条脷或者黐住脷筋嘅，系一个好大嘅痛苦嚟。
如果一个传道人他把有信息说不出来，是因为有口吃或者他的讲话不灵光，是一个很大的痛苦。
或者第三个解释，
还有第三个解释，
这个不是开玩笑，
这个不是开玩笑，
真是有人说这条刺是指保罗师母。
有人说这个不是开玩笑，是指保罗的太太。
而且这个师母呢真是鸡都唔断嘅，成日追保罗，成日闹佢，成日暗佢，成日嘈佢嘅，唔支持佢嘅。
可能这个保罗太太经常都是给他唠唠叨叨，不支持他的事工。
英文话 ，the generally pain in the neck and pain in the side and pain in everywhere， 即系话真系令到佢好烦、好痛、好苦嘅。
就是使得他在生活上很多受很多痛苦。
如果系真嘅话呢，这个真真正正一条刺啦，真系。
如果是真的话，这个是真的是一条刺。
圣经里面有证据，保罗有个师母。
圣经证据有说保罗是有一个太太的。
但如果话这个师母成日暗佢呢，成日嘈佢呢，这个是虚构或者呢个冇办法证实嘅。
如果说这个师母是经常给他唠唠叨叨，这个是虚构，没有办法证实的。
呢条刺系乜嘢？其实唔系紧要。
其实这条刺是什么并不重要。
呢条刺带俾保罗乜嘢苦，嗰个先系紧要。
带给他什么的苦才是最重要的。
不断的骚扰他，不断的将他感觉到很痛很苦，
是骚扰他，使他感觉到非常的痛苦，
每时每刻都提醒到他的软弱，
使得 他每时每刻都提醒到自己的软弱，
提醒到他他真的很难挨得下去，唯有依靠主，
使得提醒他是其实不靠自己能力是很难撑下去，唯有靠主的能力。
我们看到怎样骚扰到他，看第八第九节。
我们看第八第九节，
尤其是第八节，他说我为这事我三次求过主，叫这次离开我，但是主对他说什么？我的恩典够你用，不肯将这条刺拿走。
保罗在这里说他三次求主叫这条刺离开他，但是主对他说我的恩典是够你用的。
给你看到什么？
给我们看到什么呢？
无论保罗怎样享受特权，
无论保罗是怎样享有特权，
无论他怎样，只有他这样被选择到，
无论他是这样被选择的，
无论他多么强多有能力，
无论他是这么强有能力，
他所有的权所有的能力所有的 bragging rights 都是神恩恩赐赐给个赐给他的，
不论他是有什么能力，他有什么值得夸口的，都是神的恩典是赐给他的。
大家有没有看到这几段里面的矛盾？
我们看到这里这一段经文所表现的矛盾吗？
我们用我们的软弱来夸耀，
我们用我们的软弱来夸耀，
哪有人用我们的软弱来夸耀的，所以这个矛盾，
没有人是用软弱去来夸耀，所以这个是一个矛盾。
神赐给我们的权能，给我们的能力，是要提醒我们的软弱，
神赐给我们的软弱是要提醒我们，
这个又是一个矛盾，
也是一个矛盾。
然后最后你说什么？在我软弱的时候，那个时候就是我强壮。
在这里更说，在我软弱的时候，其实是我刚强的时候。
神的恩典够我使用，
因为这里说神的恩典够我使用。
我们弱的时候怎么能够成为壮？
我们在软弱的时候怎么成为刚强呢？
没意思的，
没有意思的。
但是你在第八节，
在第八节，
我的恩典够你使用，
他主对他说我的恩典够你使用。
而且第八节每个说话是什么呢？
而且在这里
第九节
第九节最后说什么呢？
因为我的能力是在人的软弱上显得完全。
因为主这里对他说，因为我的能力是在人的软弱上显得完全。
我们的软弱能够成为我们的强壮，
我们的软弱能够成为我们的强壮，
是因为主的恩典，
是因为 是为主的恩典在我们的生命里面。
恩典是什么意思？恩典有很多不同的解释，不同的意思的。
恩典什么意思？有很多不同的解释。
如果我们讲到救恩，
如果说救恩的话，
恩典就是说神的宽恕，
就是说神的宽恕，
按住主的恩典，
按着主的恩典，
他赐给我们我们不配得的，
赐给我们我们是不配的
宽恕咯，
就是他对我们的宽恕，
神儿女的名分，
神儿女的名分，
而按住神的怜悯，
而按着神的怜悯，
我们没得着我们应得的，
我们得到我们没有应得的，
那个是在救恩上面解释的恩典，
就是这个救恩方面解释的恩典。
但是我们每一天的生活里面，神的恩典是什么意思？
在我们每天生活里面，神的恩典是什么呢？
神的恩典就是我们每一天的生活里面，神的大能我们使用到的，
就是神的大能在我们生活上能够使用得到，
无论经历任何我们不能够再挨得下去的境况，
就是我们经历到我们不能够再支持下去的情况，
再不能够容忍多半日一日一个钟头，一个钟头
我们不能够再忍受的时候，
我们仍然是以喜乐和平，
我们仍然是以喜乐和和平，
信赖相信，
信靠和相信，
来活出神的能力，
来活出神的能力，
那个就是神的恩典在我们生命里面，
这个就是神的恩典，每天的恩典在我们身上，
在我们软弱中显得完全，
在我们软弱的时候显得完全。
保罗亲身给你这个模范，
保罗亲身给我们这个模范，
行虎形，
行虎形，
一次又一次，边个人能够挨得下去？
一次又一次的，有谁能够忍受下去呢？
被石打死，
给石头打，
挨饥抵饿，
挨饥抵饿，
又冻又冇任何嘅栖宿之处，
又冷又没有什么栖宿的地方，
冇得瞓，挨过好多好多嘅危险，
没有能够睡觉，而且挨过很多的危险，
沉船在大海里边飘荡。
沉船遇海浪，在海里面飘荡，
这些是不能容忍不能够挨得下去的情况，
这些都是一些很难忍受下去的功课，
但是主在他这个软弱当中，
那是主在保罗身上的软弱当中，
他大能彰显在他的软弱里面，
大能就彰显在他的软弱里面，
好使他以喜乐以平安的心，
使他能够以喜乐和平安的心，
信靠信赖的心继续，
信靠信赖的信来继续，
这个就是这个矛盾，
就是这个矛盾，
在我们软弱当中神的恩典够我们使用，
在软弱的当中神的恩典够我们使用，
神的能力在我们软弱当中显出完全，
神在我们的软弱当中显出他的完全，
我们每一个人都要快快学这个功课，
我们每一个人都要快快学习这个功课，
我们当中我常提的哪个人膊头不痛，
我经常就提有谁的肩膊是没有疼的，
我今天都好一点，可以拉到这么好了，
今天好一点，可以拉得长一点，
not too much I'm in pain now that's not a very good illustration 边个人膝头哥不痛腰骨不痛，
有谁 他的腰骨和他的膝盖没有疼呢？
牧师常吓人，
牧师经常去恐吓你，
迟早我们当中都会有人要去化疗，
迟早我们当中有人会经历化疗，
哪个人的眼睛现在越来越光越来越明的，看得越来越清的，
有谁的眼睛看得越来越好呢？
如果你有呢， 你 give me a transplant I need one，
如果你有的话我跟你交换眼睛，
哪个人不是在挨不得下去的境况，
有谁是在一个不能够忍受下去的情况呢？
但是虽然我们面对挨不得下去，
虽然我们不能够忍受下去，
我们喜乐我们平安，
但是我们仍然有喜乐和平安，
我们信靠我们有这个真是安稳的心走前面，
我们信靠我们靠着主有一个安稳的心去走前面的路，
这个就是主的恩典够我们使用，
这个就是主说的我的恩典够你所用，
现在面对遭遇是我们心所不愿的，
我们现在面对的遭遇是我们心里所不愿的，
在我们计划之外的，
在我们计划之外的，
我们失了这样失了那样，
我们失去很多东西，
我们要等候这样要等候那样，
我们要等候这些要等候那些，
这些是我所谓 unendurable 很难挨得下去的，
这些就是我们所不能够忍受下去的，
这个就是我们软弱，这个是我们快要跌倒的时候，
这个就是我们快要跌倒的时候，
但是我们仍然以喜乐、以平安的心、以信靠的心走向前面了。
但是我们却以一个信靠平安和喜乐的心去走前面的路，
这个就是主的恩典够我们使用今日的恩典、
这个就是主的恩典够我们今天所使用。
我们侍奉主这么多年，
我们侍奉主那么多年，
很多时候看不定，
我们侍奉的时候看不定，
而看了隔离，
看了旁边的，
见到人家哦，比我们做得好很多，成功很多，
看到别人给比我们成功很多，
我们开始灰心，
我们开始灰心，
我们开始反感添，
我们甚至开始反感。
那个时候就是我们侍奉软弱的时候，
就是我们侍奉软弱的时候，
但是靠主的恩典，在我们软弱里面显大。
但是靠主的恩典，我们在软弱里面他显伟大，
提醒我们，
提醒我们
神这样摆我们在这一处，
神今天把我们放在这里，
有他美好的计划，
有他美好的计划，
要我在这个岗位里面继续的忠心的去侍奉，
要我在这个岗位里面忠心的去侍奉他，
我们重新以喜乐与平安与信赖的心走上去，
我们重新以一个平安喜乐和信靠的心来走这条路，
这个就是主的恩典够我们使用，
这个就是主的恩典够我们所使用，
在我们软弱当中显大显完全，
在我们的软弱当中显大显为完全，
这些是矛盾，
这个就是矛盾，
怎么能够在软弱里面变成强壮呢？
怎么在软弱里面变成强刚强呢？
怎么能够以弱来炫耀呢？
怎么以软弱来炫耀呢？
怎么能够说我们的强我们的优越是为要提醒我们的软弱呢？
为什么我们的软弱是来提醒我们的软弱呢？
这就是所谓矛盾，但是真理。
这个就是所谓的矛盾，却是真理。
还有一件事我要想提醒大家的，完之前。
还有一件事情要提醒大家。
我们很容易误解这段圣经，很容易滥用了这段圣经。
我们在这里很容易去误解和滥用这个圣经。
很容易说，哎呀，现在保罗说我们以我们的软弱来炫耀夸口了。
我们在这里说保罗以他的软弱来炫耀来夸口。
那我不用怕我现在生命里面或者品性里面的软弱啊，那些没所谓啦，保罗说 OK 的。
所以我就会说我生命里面软弱的地方是为所谓，保罗说是这是可以的。
我一定要好小心，不能够这样误解圣经。
我们不可以这样去误解圣经。
早一堂有很多学生，我说他们。
早一堂有很多中学生，我告诉他们。
如果你们是在读书上面软弱的。
如果你们在念书上面是软弱的，
是因为你成日打电脑机、打游戏、看电视，没心读书。
如果你成绩不好，是因为你经常玩电脑和打游戏机，没有心去念书。
你这里又软，那里又弱。
这里不好，那里也不好。
他说你不可以用这些夸口。
不可以用这些来夸口。
那些不是炫耀，那些是羞耻。
那些不是炫耀，那些是羞耻。
如果我们品性、我们的脾气在这处又软弱，那处又不得的。
如果我们的品性是有软弱，这里不行，那里也不好的。
那些不是我们的炫耀，那些是我们的羞耻。
这些不是我们的炫耀，是我们的羞耻。
如果我们的习惯、如果我们的嗜好是软弱的。
如果我们的习惯和喜好是软弱的。
喜欢去马场。
喜欢去赌博、去马场。
或者有其他addictive 有瘾的习惯。
或者是一些上了瘾的习惯。
你说哦，保罗说软弱是我们的夸口，不是。
所以我们就说哦，保罗说这些我们是夸口，其实不是。
什么时候我们的软弱才成为我们的夸口？
什么时候我们的软弱才成为我们的夸口呢？
是只有我们容许神在我们的软弱里面。
只有当神的，我们让神在我们的软弱里面
行动出他的大能，他的改变，
行动出他的大能和改变，
将我们的软弱改变成能够见证，
把我们的软弱能够变成见证他，
见证神的能力，见证神的恩典，
见证神的能力和恩典，
那个时候才是神的能力在我们的软弱里面显得完全，
那个时候才是神的能力从我们的软弱中看得到，见得完全，
那个时候才是我们能够炫耀，
那个时候才能够炫耀，
不是炫耀自己，
不是炫耀自己，
不读得成书有什么炫耀啊？
不能够念书不成功有什么值得炫耀呢？
但是炫耀神的大能，神的恩惠，
但是炫耀神的大能和恩惠，
将我们的羞辱，将我们的破碎，将我们的软弱改变成光荣，那个时候才是 我们能够以软弱来荣耀神。
但是我们让神在这些软弱事情上把它变成软光荣的事情，那个时候才是神的荣耀。
所以我们看我们自己的生命，
但是所以我们看自己的生命，
破碎的地方、失败的地方是什么？
失败破碎的地方在哪里呢？
不是挺好样，不是挺好看的地方是什么？
不好看的地方是什么呢？
我们能不能够将它被主使用呢？
我们能不能够让主使用呢？
不是说用来做借口，
不是用来做借口，
而是利用它成为神大能运行的地方，
而是让它为神运行它大能的地方，
将它的失败、它的软弱变成见证，
把它的把使它这些失败变成它的见证，
见证到神的同在、能力和恩典在我的生里面彰显，
见证神的荣耀恩典和能力与我们同在。
这个就是信徒的生活，
这个就是信徒的生活。
我们走上这个属灵之道，
我们走上这个属灵之道。